Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. We've got a great show for you today. I want to just say one thank you so much for everybody that came out to my first meet and greet, and of course, my sponsor, Nancy, at Collective Art Glass. We just, you know, meeting new people and, of course, my in-person mixer and then my virtual mixer that we're having. If you are interested in sharing your business, please just text me and put mixer on there. It doesn't matter where you're located for the virtual one. I would love to just connect you to some amazing people. And that number is 805-419-0008. Let's get connected. And that's what it's all about. All right, and for tomorrow, we've got a few more tickets to give away for Caneo Food and Wine Fest. We've been giving tickets away, and I would love to get you there. If you are interested in going, just text us and put Food and Wine Fest. And, of course, that number is 805-419-0008. And, of course, we're talking about the 2024 Caneo Food and Wine Fest in Thousand Oaks at St. Pasco School. Such a fun, great thing. Also, I have comedy. So if you are interested in, like, really just cheering yourself up and taking your family to some comedy, just text us and say comedy, and our team will get back with you. Of course, I start all of our shows with something uplifting, and today's is when things do not go your way, remember that every challenge, every adversity contains within it the seeds of an opportunity and growth. And I really believe that. If you're not learning and you're not growing through all these, anything that the sets in your way or steps in your way, I guess you would say, learn from it. It's really just an obstacle that you need to, like, it's a message. There's a message behind it. And which really brings me to my first guest. And, of course, Kathy Buford is here. And, of course, she is a trial attorney, an author, a mediator, a collaborator, divorce and family custody child. She does it all. And we're going to be talking about her newest book, Divorce Matters. And it really does. You know, it's like one of those things, if you have somebody in your tribe or you have a little bit of knowledge, you're not going to go in there blindly. So Kathy, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah. Happy to be
here.
You're
so, thank you, and you're so welcome. And tell me, first of all, a little bit about why you wrote your book and who this book is really for.
Sure. Well, like you said, I do a lot of divorce work, post-divorce work, pre-divorce work, and of course the divorce itself. And I spend a lot of time not only, you know, doing the court work and doing the paperwork, but counseling clients along the way. And people from the beginning, when they call up, they're so full of fear, anxiety, you know, anger, sometimes regret. I mean, they're so full of emotions, and divorce really affects every part of your life, and they are really nervous about the process and what they're in for. And I've, you know, discovered over the years that even giving them a little bit of information at the beginning really calms their nerves and puts them in the right place to start to hear what I have to say, to take in the information that they need, and to really make the decisions that they need to make to get through this. So, you know, obviously there's a limited amount of information that I can give during the course of representing them, and I try not to overwhelm them with too much information at first. But, you know, eventually talking to people and past clients, and sometimes I would give talks around here, and people would often say, hey, you know, you should write some of this stuff down, or it would be great if you have a book, or they'd ask me if I had a book. I had a lot of articles out there on my website and on posts and stuff, and people, you know, gave a lot of positive feedback and said that even that little bit of information helped them. So anyway, it just ended up being that I just said, okay, let me put this all together and let's see if I can get out, you know, a good body of information for people that they could digest in their own time. They can have it as a reference, as a resource while they're working with their attorney, and it would really help them become better clients. It would help them, you know, probably become, you know, better parents through that process and just calm their nerves. And if they're calm, then maybe their children are calm.
There you go. So let me ask you kind of to back up a second, but what led you to become a lawyer in the first place?
Oh, probably way back. It could probably go way back when I was a kid. I grew up in a big Italian family. We had the traditional big multi-generational weekly dinners, and we had a lot of lively conversation, a lot of lively debates, and I did pretty well during them. As kids, we weren't encouraged to not participate, you know, so we jumped right in and always had a good time, you know, going back and forth. Was never shy about giving my opinions. So I think more than one time a relative had suggested maybe I should go into law or be an attorney. So kind of jokingly, but I think it put the idea in my head. Fast forward to like seventh or eighth grade, I think I was on some kind of debate team and took a class in a business law and really liked it, liked the idea of having, you know, this law or statute or rule and, you know, having this facts, applying the facts to the law and then making your argument. And I don't know, it just took to it. So after that, I said, yes, this is what I would like to do. And then from there, it was just a straight course right through, you know, to pre-law and then law school. And, you know, eventually I had a lot of different jobs during college and law school, which gave me an opportunity to experience different types of areas, which I think is really important for, I guess, probably mm-hmm. any profession, but especially a lawyer. And eventually towards the end, I got hooked up with a small firm and, you know, was introduced to family law when I was a paralegal, working right. as a paralegal at the time. And it really spoke to me as far as, you know, I felt like I really, really connected with the clients. And even though it's a terrible time in their life, and it's
yeah.
really messy side of law, and a lot of attorneys don't want to handle family law at all. I just felt like I had a lot of impact and the ability to help them.
And have you ever been through a divorce?
I myself haven't, no. And in fact, even my immediate family hasn't. So
wow.
I've really kind of walked through the fire with my clients through 30 years. And I guess, you know, the good side of it is that I don't bring any biases or any baggage to the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been married for 30 years, so I certainly can understand
awesome.
The struggles and, you know, any relationship is difficult. And you know, I bring that compassion and understanding to the equation.
Right. And I think, you know, I look at really the pandemic. I think that divorce escalated after that. You know, I don't know if it's because we were just stuck in place, you know, or, I mean, some it helped. Like for me, it helped, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, we, you know, we regrouped and found more passion and ideas of what we wanted to do in our future. And some people were like, oh my God, after this, I'm done, you know? What's your thought on that?
For sure. I mean, that pandemic put a stress on a lot of people. And if you had a stressful relationship or problems in the relationship, it certainly, you know, it made that a lot worse because people were pretty much stuck together. I mean, the sad part of my job here is that I get a lot of calls after non-pandemic. I get a lot of calls after the holidays.
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
typically because
time,
you have
right?
people
yeah.
off from work and you have people together for multiple days and everything just, you know, people get on each other's nerves to say the least, but everything becomes more, you know, more visible, I guess. And, you know, you see the warts a lot more clearly and people just say, hey, so you can imagine if I get calls after the holiday seasons, you know, during the pandemic, people were calling me like crazy saying I have to, you know, get out of the situation. So you had that stress of them being together all the time. which wasn't easy for anyone. You also had, I think, people were taking restock. You know, they were taking stock of where they were in life. You know, they had all this downtime, and they were, you know, maybe rethinking their careers. And, you know, obviously some were rethinking their marital situation. So it gave them time to kind of, you know, make that change. And then you just had the stress in general, which I think weighed on everyone. And you had a lot of people, you know, that you know, weren't getting the help that they needed as far as mental health goes. So that also impacted, I think, a lot of people.
I totally agree. You know, now let me ask you a question. Do you ever work with people that you think maybe there's a chance, and that, you know, I see that in your book, you place a strong emphasis on mediation rather than the standard. Do you ever say, is there any chance you guys can, you know, reconcile?
Yep. Well, that's two different questions. So, reconciling, yes. I mean, whenever someone, you know, whenever I have that first phone call or that first meeting, you know, I ask, you know, what are the reasons for the breakdown of the marriage? And what I'm really trying to get at.
That's interesting.
Always. And because I want to know if I'm dealing with something like a big thing that just happened, like maybe there is, you know, there's infidelity, or maybe there's some kind of substance abuse, or some kind of, you know, maybe some financial issues, like someone's, you know, gambling the money away, or there's dissipation of assets. Or I need to know if there's something I need to really hook on to immediately, because sometimes people need faster help than others. And then. And that comes out. And then most of the time, the answer I get is just an accumulation of a lot of things. And then they'll go into kind of, you know, the stuff that's been bothering them. But there are occasions over the years, there have been occasions where someone really couldn't answer that question to my satisfaction. And I questioned whether they really thought that the marriage, you know, was indeed, you know, over, or whether they just, you know, needed maybe some help, or, you know, and then I ask if they've gone to counseling, if they've explored that. And there have been occasions where, you know, because of those questions, they rethought it, and they went to, you know, and then I would refer them out to some counselors if that's what they wanted, marriage counselors, and some never called me back again. Now, I don't know for sure, you know, what happened,
right.
But, you know, at
I
least
wanted a divorce,
I tried to see
to keep you with my husband. No.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. People usually don't call me with good news, unfortunately. They only call me when bad things happen. So I can only hope that those marriages maybe were reconciled. Mm-hmm. The mediation that you talk about, that's just another form of getting a divorce. So it's still a dissolution of marriage. It's just a what I call kinder and gentler way to get divorced, as opposed to the traditional litigation, which is what most people think about, what you see on TV, you know, all these celebrity breakups, you know, you're seeing the worst of the worst of the worst. And that's what people think of. And believe me, that stuff happens. All that stuff happens if you go down that litigation route in an adversarial manner and you go to trial. I mean, it's ugly, and it's awful. It has an emotional toll, it has a financial toll, and all that stuff trickles down to the children, and you just can't help it, you know? So I'm always, always mindful of their children involved, trying to keep things as amicable as possible and shield them as much as possible from the divorce itself. So mediation is an opportunity for couples to sit down with a neutral person called the mediator, which could be an attorney, but they're not acting as an attorney for either one of you. Or sometimes they sit down with a mediator as a mental health professional. Sometimes it could be a member of some clergy. The mediator is just a neutral, and they facilitate or help facilitate an agreement between the parties to kind of settle all the terms of the divorce. And they do it in, you know, in a series of meetings where you'll say, okay, we're going to talk about this meeting. So think about what you want. The next meeting, you'll say, okay, this is what we've agreed on so far. Now we're going to tackle maybe the house, or maybe next time we tackle the parenting plan. Usually we start with the parenting plan, and then we go into the financial issues.
Yeah.
But we're really giving the reins over to the parties to try to come to an agreement on their own, which, you know, they say, we're taught that, you know, if parties come to an agreement on their own, not only can they, you know, have at least somewhat of an amicable separation, which again trickles down into a you know, more peaceful living environment for the children. But people are, I think, more apt to follow orders, because eventually, even though you have an agreement, you still have to go through the court, and you have to get the court to make those orders of the court. So you still get divorced, and you still get, you know, those are orders, even though it's an agreement between the two of you. But people are more apt to follow the orders if they've had a participation and if they come to them by agreement than if you go to trial and then a court just orders them.
Right,
so
right.
There are so many, although there's a lot of statistics about divorce and how many divorces there are, I'm not aware of too many statistics out there, and I don't know that any of really are taken about the post-divorce work that's done. For every divorce case I have, I probably have 5 post-divorce matters that I'm handling, which means someone's not following an order,
so it's like a contempt.
Or someone wants to change an order, it's a modification, and those are a lot. And if you can eliminate some of the contempt by maybe, you know, going through the mediation, then that would also help, you know, after the divorce too.
Got it. So first of all, I love this. And for anybody that is just tuning in with us, one, thank you so much for being here, waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way. And of course, we're talking with Kathy Buford. We're talking about Divorce Matters, her newest book. And what are we going to find in your book? Like, what are the 3 top most important things that folks should really know about your book?
Okay. So overall, it's going to take you through the whole procedure of divorce from start to finish, from hiring and even looking for an attorney all the way through, you know, after your divorce. And it goes through and it includes all those explanations of all the different types of divorces you can have. You can go through the traditional means, you can go through the mediation, and then you can also go through something called collaborative divorce. That in and of itself, I think, is worth the book, just so that you know what your options are. But, you know, 3 most important things is, you know, the book is not a replacement for, you know, an attorney. It's going to help you to be informed and to be a better client and to lower your stress level, but it's not a replacement for an attorney, number one. Number two, it doesn't need to be only for someone who's in divorce or immediately going for divorce. It's never too early to get information, and if you're thinking of it, or it might be a possibility, or someone's maybe mentioned that they might file for divorce, getting it and getting prepared ahead of time is going to be helpful to you. The worst, you know, the worst case scenario in that scenario is that you read the book for nothing. You know, you don't need it. Your marriage stays intact, but at least you had the information going forward. Because the sooner you get information, in my experience, the more comfortable and the less stress that you'll have. And number 3 is that the book isn't just for the divorcing parties, but is going to be equally important for all of those people who help other people go through divorce. Many times I have parents, you know, come in and they're assisting their children, even if they're in their, not only their 20s, but their 30s, sometimes 40s, there's still someone's helping them to get through the process, especially if it's something that they don't want or they're very upset by. I have siblings come in, I have friends come in, and they're assisting people because it's a very emotional time for others. So even for those people to read the book, they would be able to better help their family members and their friends.
I love it. Again, thank you so much for sharing, you know, your passion and your expertise with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Where do my listeners get your book?
Sure. Really anywhere books are sold. So it goes through Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, there's something called Thrift Books. I mean, if you really just Google my name, if you just Google Kathy Buford book or Divorce Matters Kathy Buford, it'll come up. It'll just be everywhere.
I love it. And again, on your website, you have some information on there that our listeners can even, you know, learn from.
Yes,
you, correct?
Thank you. That's another place you can find where you can get links to the book. So the website is www.bbesq.com, and that has not only the book information, but it does have a wealth of information as far as articles go, at least, you know, for my state. I'm located in Connecticut. The book is is written for, you know, national, but on the website it's got more Connecticut-based information.
Well, thank you so much. And again, please let's connect on social. And I love this. Hopefully people don't need it, but if they do, then guess what? We have a reference for them. So again,
exactly.
Thank you so much
exactly.
for joining
making
us
the best of a bad situation, like you said in the beginning.
There you go. I love it. All right. Take care. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Got it. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we will be talking with Kim O'Brien. And of course, she is Survival Swim with Kim. She's been one of our amazing sponsors. But I do want to make sure that if you want to go to the Caneo Food and Wine, call in right now or text us at 805-419-0008. And if you want comedy, write comedy at that same number, 805-419-0008. And, of course, Caneo Food and Wine is tomorrow. So we have last-minute tickets that we can get away for you. And comedy is tonight. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priorities should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to TNTAMS.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I don't know if you know this, but drowning is the number one cause of accidental death in children under the age of five. 69% of children who drown were not supposed to be around the water at the time of drowning. And of course, our next guest and sponsor, Kim O'Brien. Her business, her passion, her life is Survival Swim with Kim. And she is a wonderful mom of five beautiful kids. And she lost one of those children just like this. And so she is making a difference. And she basically learned everything so that she could help other families. And Kim, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me and for sharing this important message.
It is an important message, and we are in the first week of summer, and it doesn't even matter that it's summer because this is something that happens all year long. But let's highlight it now. Let's put the spotlight on it so that we don't have another it's traumatic, and you personally went through this, and I'm sure you hear about them all the time. Talk to us, and where do we start, and who are you, first of all?
So I'm Kim O'Brien, and I lost my sweet daughter when she was 2.5 years old to an accidental drowning. She found her way into a pool because the gate around the pool didn't latch properly. And toddlers are sneaky, Kim. They will do anything and everything they can to get what they want, even though it's not safe for them. They don't have that logical reasoning in their brains yet. And so it's so important to have so many barriers and protections in place, and one of them is Survival Swim Lessons. So that is why I started teaching. I found out about Survival Swim, unfortunately, after my daughter's accident.
Right. I want to back up for 1 second, Kim. Yeah. Even though there was a fence around it, you don't even think to make sure that it's actually latched. That could have made the biggest difference, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it is important to have a gate that latches automatically, but even those that are supposed to latch automatically may have a glitch or may have something blocking it or just, not working right for whatever reason. And so it's really important to check that often and make sure that fences and gates are working properly, that there's, no areas where kids can, climb in over around a fence to get into a pool area.
Yeah, because maybe their ball went over. Maybe they're, you don't even know. They don't, like you said, they don't have any reason in their mind to, figure that out. So you are so incredibly busy and helping so many people. Talk to us about your schedule and what you do and, all the people that you help.
Sure. So I've taught over 1,200 lessons already this year, Kim. I'm so busy, but I absolutely love all the precious families and little ones that I get to help, and it helps my heart to see them get these skills. So I know that that these little ones can be safer. So it's absolutely amazing. But survival swim lessons are much different than a traditional swim lesson. We teach in groupings. So Each lesson is one-on-one individual, but kids come 4 days a week. They're short lessons, only 10 minutes a day, but they're 4 days a week for 6 weeks. And in that six-week period of time, they learn how to swim with their face in the water, how to roll over to their back and float independently for air and rest and safety. And if they're walking age, they can learn to roll and swim again and make their way to an edge or stairs or whatever exit they can find. But right. Toddlers can learn this skill, Kim. At 2 years old, they can learn to swim and float independently. You just have to give them a chance to learn that skill.
That's just incredible. And, I mean, what is the youngest child that you usually, that you have
taught? 6 months. 6 months old is the youngest. A baby has to be rolling over on the ground before they can start, and at least 6 months old. And infants learn just to roll and float and how to lay there and float independently. And then toddlers and up will learn how to swim and float. It's
wow.
Absolutely amazing to watch. Every time you see a baby get their roll and they just are laying there floating by themselves, it's amazing.
That's incredible. And you have a new brand new baby too, granddaughter, right? Is it granddaughter?
I do. Yeah, granddaughter.
I know. Congratulations.
Yes.
And I have a new granddaughter too. So yes, will you be teaching your granddaughter?
I will be, definitely.
Yeah, I got to get my granddaughter. I just was with her yesterday. She's so precious, I tell you. But yeah, and she's already holding her head up, and she's like 14 weeks old.
They grow fast.
Like,
they grow so fast.
I know. So, wow. So let me ask you, first of all, you know, some of the things that we were taught are really a big no-no, okay? And it's funny, now that I've been working with you, I see people with the little, you know, what do you even call it, floaties, you know?
Those
and I'm
darn
like,
floaties.
Oh, you know, those, that's not really good. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it gives them false hope, you know, or false potential, right? But talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so floaties put kids in a vertical position. So they teach their bodies to be up and down instead of in a horizontal swim position. And so if a kid is used to being up and down with their feet underneath them, when they don't have that floaty on, all they're going to do is sink. They don't understand that the floaty is what's keeping them safe or keeping them their head above the water. They don't understand that. And again, kids are sneaky. And so sometimes you get out of the pool and everyone's, you know, getting out of their swim clothes and you take the floaty off your child and all of a sudden, whoop, they're back in the pool and they don't know what to do because that floaty isn't on them to protect them.
So it's a false security.
It is a false sense of security for parents and for kids. You know, parents
right.
think that, oh, they're keeping my kids safe, but they're not. And I've seen kids in those floaties actually go face forward and get stuck with their face in the water because the floaty is, like, holding them there and they can't maneuver their body. They don't know how to go against the floaty. So it's really important to teach your child skills rather than using a device. They can use their roll and float anytime, anywhere without anybody helping them if they learn it. But if they are used to a floaty and they something happens, they won't know what to do.
Right. And talk to us about, like, when you say skills, what are the skills that you're teaching these children?
So they're learning how to hold their breath properly, not blowing bubbles out. At a young age, kids need to have a concrete plan of action. So they need to know, this is exactly what I do every time. And if you're teaching them too many things at once, they don't know which one to focus on. And so they need to hold their air in so they have air to hold them up to float. If they blow all their air bubbles out, what happens when you blow your air out? You go down under the water, and they don't have strong muscles all the time to get back up. So you don't want to teach them to blow their air out. You want to teach them to hold it in until they get a proper age where they can understand. And then you teach them how to swim with their face in the water, never with their head above the water, because a child's head is so heavy. It weighs more than the rest of their body. And so that's a big weight to carry. And so if they're trying to hold it on top of the water with their little legs working so hard, it's going to wear them out, and they won't be able to sustain that. So teaching them how to put their face in the water and then how to roll over to their back and float independently in a good position so that they can get the rest they need.
Wow, I love that. I love that. Let's talk about, I know that you have a lot of do's and don'ts for pole safety. Can you kind of go over a little bit more with that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I hear most often when there's an accident is that parents, everyone is right there. There were so many people right there, and the child just slipped in the water and we didn't notice. And that's because everybody thinks somebody else is watching. So if you don't put an active water watcher in place, then nobody is watching the water because everybody thinks someone else is doing it. So it's really important to put a water watcher, assign one person to be watching the water, and that's all they do. They're not barbecuing. They're not talking on their phone. They're not visiting with other people. They're solely watching the water to make sure the kids are safe. Make it a rotation, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Switch it out every 20 minutes so that someone else is doing it, so it's not always the same person. But it has to be someone that's solely there to pay attention to the water.
That makes so much sense. Yep.
Having a fence is so important, having a tall fence with an automatic latching gate. There are many barriers that you should put in place. Each one of them is not necessarily more important, but they work all together. So if one fails, you have backups, right? So the constant supervision, making sure that someone is always watching the kids when they're in the water. You could have an alarm on the pool or on the doors or gates that lead to the pool. One big thing is if you have a dog door that leads out to your pool area, make sure that that is either a lockable one or that your kids can't crawl through it. Because I have seen toddlers crawl through dog doors go outside.
You're absolutely right, yeah. And you're like, oh, gosh, never thought about that. Yeah,
exactly, you don't. But those kids, they're so creative, they'll think of anything. There's a video I saw of a child pushing their toy car over by the fence to climb up on the car to try and climb over the fence to the pool.
You know
if they want it, they're going to try and figure out a way to do it. So you got to make sure that they're safe.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, I'm just thinking, like, you know, we teach our kids not to drink and drive. We need to really say the same thing as swimming isn't just fun, okay?
Right.
You have to learn the skills to be safe, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. If you teach your kid that water is fun and splash and play and they don't need to know how to operate in it, then what's going to happen if they go in without you? They think it's fun and they just go in there and, oh, it's not fun because I don't know how to react. So you want to give them the skills before they know it's fun. Teach them what to do so that if, heaven forbid, something happens, they know how to respond to it.
Right. And as a parent or a babysitter or a lifeguard, right, obviously CPR, talk about that for a bit.
So important for anybody to have CPR and know how to respond in a water-related incident. When a child has a water-related incident, it's a little different than another incident because they need air first. When you have a water incident, kids are lacking oxygen. So it's so important to get them the air first. And so knowing that with your CPR skills is really crucial.
Wow. And so when the parents come, do you teach the parents how to continue to, you know, like you're teaching them 4 times a week, 10 minutes, and then do the parents practice with their kids further? How does that work?
Yeah, so when kids finish their skills, I get the parents in the water with them to show them what to do and what not to do with their child so that they can continue practicing and playing and swimming safely with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always available to my families if a child, you know, starts not doing their skills properly or looking weird for whatever reason. Children will do different things for their parents than they will for me.
Right. Isn't that always
always the case. So I'm always available to my families so that they know they could reach out if if their child ever needs to come back for a refresher or anything like that.
Right. And so I'm looking at your website, and of course, give out your website.
Yes, it's survivalswimwithkim.com.
Okay. So fierce floaters are 6 to 18 months, right?
Yes.
And talk to us about that class.
So any infant that is not yet walking would be a fierce floater, and they learn how to hold their breath in the water and roll over to their back and float independently.
Okay. And
then
go ahead.
The Water Warriors class is the next age group, and that's your toddler group up until preschool age. And those are kids who are running all over the place and, you know, can walk and run really well. And they learn how to swim, how to roll over and float on their back, and then how to roll and swim again, making their way to an edge or wall or stairs.
Right. And what is the oldest child that you teach?
There's not really. It's a case-by-case basis on age. I do teach older kids with special needs.
Okay.
So it just depends, on each particular case. But I mostly teach until about age 12.
And, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is not considered swimming lessons, correct? Or is it?
It is. So older kids
not
only learn the survival and safety skills, but they learn basic swim strokes as well.
Okay. So when people, because I'm always referring you people, and they want swim lessons, that's still... I mean, obviously, survival swim, right? So it's So you do from infant to whoever needs to learn, right?
Yep. And they all learn to swim. Once they know the survival part of it, how to get to the back and navigate the water, we work on diving skills, we work on arm strokes, we work on all swim skills.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. I have 2 and 3-year-olds who will dive down to the bottom of the pool and get toys off the bottom.
No way.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you ever have parents that they bring their children in because they never learned how to swim?
Yeah.
And they're afraid? Talk about that.
So much. You would be surprised at the number of adults who don't know how to swim. And so I'm thankful that they want to get their kids taught so that they are not in the same boat. I get parents all the time bringing their kids to me when they don't have the swim skills because they want their kids to be safer than they are.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, you wouldn't think, but and we live in California, but people, you know, they didn't have the luxury of what you teach, right?
No. And some lessons, you know, aren't readily available everywhere. Even still, there are areas that don't have access to swim lessons. So it's really, I wish it was different. I wish it were more available because swimming is a life skill. It's something everybody should know how to do just to be safe.
Right. And now after 6 weeks, do a lot of them come back?
Yeah. So I do have a maintenance and progression program. And so a lot of the kids will keep up their skills and practice with me once a week to keep their skills up, continue learning, continue building those skills. And that way they gradually move on to learning arm strokes and stronger swim skills.
Wow.
It's about practice. As long as
kids
practice, they will continue to build their skills. If you don't use it,
you'll lose it.
It's with everything in life. You got to practice.
So true. Let me ask you a question. Where did you learn to be an instructor like this?
Yes, I trained with Infant Aquatics Survival, and I went to Texas and trained. It's a lengthy program. You're in the water for 6 weeks and do a lot of book work on child development, anatomy, physiology, learning all the ins and outs of how children grow and respond so that we can do lessons safely and teach babies safely. Because the most important thing, we're all here to keep kids safe, and so we don't want to do anything that would put them in harm. And so we're very cautious about how we move forward with every child. That's why lessons are one-on-one, so we can watch each child and how they're responding and teach them according to their learning style and what's best for them.
I love that. And do you have a favorite age that you teach?
Gosh, I don't necessarily have a favorite age, but the ones I absolutely love are the ones that are the most fearful of the water. They come to me. I just had a little girl who was 2 years old, and her mom couldn't even get her in the bathtub, Kim. She would fight and wail and kick and hit and would not even get in the bath to take a bath before lessons. And within 2 weeks of lessons, mom could wash her hair, could put her in the bath with ease. She didn't even want to get out of the bath. It's just, so it's those kids that I just absolutely love.
Transformation, right?
Teaching.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Oh, gosh. Well, Kim, you do such a good job. You could hear it in your passion. And I just really want to get your message out here to, if you know of any babies, children, grandchildren, niece, nephew, whatever, let's get them water safe with Kim. And of course, Kim is all about survival swim with Kim. Give out your website and your phone number one more time.
Yeah, it's survivalswimwithkim.com. And my phone number is 805-620-7177.
Right.
I have lessons in Ventura and in Camarillo this summer. And I do have scholarship opportunities. If someone can't afford lessons, I do have different options for scholarships. So don't let money be a reason you don't get your kids water safe.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right, Kim, thank you so much for being here and being one of our sponsors. And I love what you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff there. And of course, we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about our weather as it heats up. We've got AI-enabled smart meters that can help lower your utility bill. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to tntams.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, giveaways. If you want to go to the Caneo Food and Wine Festival, text us at 805-419-0008. Or you want to go to comedy
Text Comedy. All right. And again, 419-0008. My next guest, Kaylin Maneki, is from Smart Grid Solutions, offering for Honeywell Smart Energy and Thermal Solutions. And as the weather heats up, we're going to learn how AI actually enabled smart meters and can help us lower our utility bills. Let's welcome Kaylin. Are you there?
Sure. So my name is Kaylin Meineke, and I work for Honeywell as our Smart Grid Solutions offering manager, which means that, you know, I'm looking for new products and innovation that's going to forge a path towards a more sustainable energy future, whether that's with smart metering technology or programs like energy efficiency and demand response.
I love it. And so what are some of the challenges that utilities face today?
Many utility distribution grids were designed, you know, over 100 years ago, and that just doesn't fit well, right, with how we're producing and using energy today. You know, more consumers are becoming prosumers as they adopt technologies like battery storage and solar. And so that's a completely new dynamic of how the energy grid is operating, and it's becoming a lot more flexible and connected.
Wow. You know what's so funny is my daughter and I, she lives in Texas, and we were just talking about this. She's like a numbers girl. She's so smart. But she was going, Mom, they just keep building and building and building, and they don't think about all the challenges that, you know, that are happening with the energy. And so I love that here we are, we're talking about this. And so can you share some easy ways that we can reduce our energy consumption, especially heading into this summer?
Absolutely. You know, energy and saving energy doesn't have to be complicated. You know, there are a number of no and low cost opportunities that can you can take advantage of, and it'll help you save money on your bill this summer. I guess three quick, easy actions you can take, right, is one, check your thermostat settings. Make sure you have a schedule set for when you're at home or away. Two is to check your doors and windows for gaps that air can get through. We want to keep all of that cool air indoors, right? And stay comfortable. So make sure your weather stripping around your door frames and ceiling around your windows is in really good condition. And then three, you know, you might be able to relate to this with having kids and, you know, when they were younger, always forgetting to turn off those lights. And so if you can, put your lights on timers and sensors so that you don't have to worry about if something was left on.
I love that. Yeah. So let me ask you, I know that smart meters, talk to us a little bit about that and how can that actually lower our consumer energy costs?
Sure. So smart meters are really revolutionizing how consumers are now able to manage their energy expenses, because we can receive real-time data, right, that's coming from the electricity or natural gas or water that you're consuming, and it's going to help you identify where and when you're using your energy. So that's putting the power into your hands, right? And you can shift your consumption off of those high peak times to take advantage of lower rates and reduce your energy costs. And I think that's amazing, right? Because then you have so much more transparency into how your bills are being estimated, and you really can have confidence in the accuracy of the charges that you're seeing month to month.
I love it. And Kaylin, let me ask you a question, okay? You know, like there's things that we can do, like put our dishwasher on at the time that is, you know, less, it costs us less, right? Or, you know, there's savings that we can do that can make it less expensive, correct? Like when we run our pool or when we do our laundry. Are those all things that really actually help?
They do. And, you know, there's so many options that you might not be sure of where to start, right? And so I would really recommend that you reach out to your local utility provider, because so many of them offer things like free energy assessments, where you can either do a, you know, do it yourself online assessment, or have a person come into your home or your business to make more personalized recommendations on ways you can save energy. And sometimes they'll even, you know, do free installation of energy efficiency equipment like light bulbs and smart outlets or water saving devices on your showers and faucets.
Oh, I love that. Okay. And now lastly, because we were talking about this AI, talk to us about AI and the performance of existing utility grids as assets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, AI is really helping us to move forward in what the future of the energy grid is going to look like. I mentioned, you know, in the past that, you know, a lot of our infrastructure is, you know, 100 plus years old, and it's been built out in parts and pieces. And so how do you take all of those parts and pieces and the data, you know, within that and combine it into this one integrated system where you can use things like artificial intelligence to pull out trends in how energy is being consumed, and then leverage predictive analytics to forecast out, right, of what investments do we need to make into our infrastructure to ensure reliable and resilient energy for our consumers and low bills.
Wow, there you go. I love it. AI is showing its face everywhere, right?
It is.
You know, it is an incredible thing. Yeah, I love it. And Kaylin, how long have you been doing this?
So I've been in the energy industry for about 8 years now.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very cool. And how can my listeners find out more about this information for wherever they are listening from and how they can really outdo their performance in their homes and their businesses?
Sure. There's lots of different solutions, you know, that can fit your specific needs in your home or your business. So if you'd like to learn more, please visit our website at honeywell.com to explore our smart energy solutions.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kaylin, for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Thank you so much for joining us. And make sure you get your names in for all these giveaways that we're doing. And of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Positive thinking is a valuable tool that can help you overcome obstacles, deal with pain, and reach new goals. It's always about starting your day in a positive way. All right, have a great rest of your weekend. I hope to see everybody out at Conejo Food and Wine Festival tomorrow and also at the comedy. All right, take care.